Hello, I'm Áine Lawler. Welcome again to the Your Politics podcast, the RTE Politics team weekly take on the latest from Leinster House. And that team today includes Paul Cunningham, Mary Regan and Fiacra O'Kioni. Mary, let's start with today. We had leaders' questions and Mairead Farrell, curiously enough, the woman of the moment, the woman that Sinn Féin want to nominate to replace Brian Stanley, now independent as chairperson of PAC. Was that almost an audition we were looking at?
Yeah, I think it was an audition, and if it was an audition, she appears to have passed it. So the Dáil Committee on Selection, that well-known committee, was meeting this morning to decide how to proceed with whether Mairead Farrell should be appointed, whether it should go to a Dáil vote or not. Meanwhile, she sprung a bit of a surprise, took leaders' questions in the Dáil. It was her second time taking leaders' questions for Sinn Féin, and she chose something maybe slightly off topic that hasn't been on the agenda, namely the waste of public money, you know, obviously the main task she'd have if she were to chair the Public Accounts Committee. And she spoke about a story that was in the Medical Times this morning about cost overruns in six other HSE projects to the tune of 17 million euros. And, you know, she really put it up to people saying, you know, I am the woman who will chair the Public Accounts Committee. I am, you know, able to ask on these questions, and she'd clearly done her homework, as any good Galway woman would, and that is something very true to her character. She often does very good research on things, and she also has some, you know, good kind of lines, you know, saying that this was like a roadshow of waste being taken around the country, and that public money being wasted was a runaway train by this government. So if it was a sort of audition for that role, to her party and even her detractors would say, yeah, she did knock it out of the park. She did do a good job. When Micheál Martin tried to talk about construction inflation and all these other issues, she kept interrupting him, saying, answer the question you're being asked. The question being asked was, are there any other projects where there are massive cost overruns that we don't know about? So while the other parties were then deciding what to do about whether she should chair the PAC, she was on her feet in the Dáil, and ultimately any opposition to her taking up that role as PAC chair sort of trickled away, and all the parties now who had previously said they were going to block it are now saying, yes, we will support her nomination. Now, ultimately, those parties, I think, had very little choice in the matter, because it is the Dáil rules, it is the Dáil convention that the main opposition party chairs the Public Accounts Committee. And I think to sort of try and stop that would have seemed to be, you know, in some ways undemocratic, and it could have flipped, turn the tables for the government parties, really, and fed into this sort of theory that's doing the round on social media at the moment, that Sinn Féin is treated sort of badly, or is sort of treated unfairly compared to other political parties in the Dáil. So ultimately, it appears she will be appointed chair of the PAC, not without some wrangling for Sinn Féin, because other parties, Sock Dems, for example, are saying they want Sinn Féin still to answer questions, although they won't block Mairead Farrell. How long she'll hold that position for is another matter entirely, because she might get to chair one meeting before an election is called.
I mean, she is a former, frontbench spokesperson for the Sinn Féin party in relation to public expenditure. I mean, this is a woman who knows numbers, who was well able to read a balance sheet. She's someone who worked in the financial sector herself, in the private sector. So there's no one doubting her capacity. And I agree with Mary, the manner in which she went in and did a bit of an old barnstorming performance, I'll take yous all on, you know, it worked. So, I mean, from her point of view, it was a good day.
Yeah, I feel kind of, you know, the question you're asking, was it an audition? I mean, it very much was an audition. I think Mary's right and Paul's right in saying that, look, she gave a very good performance on the finances scenario on, you know, could she be a PAC chair for perhaps one meeting, perhaps two, perhaps a couple. But I think that there was also a separate issue going on that Sinn Féin was trying to maybe reverse the political agenda a couple of weeks and say, look, it's about the bike issue, the security issue. The Children's Hospital came up, I think, half a dozen times in her two predictions. So they were trying to go back to a couple of weeks ago when maybe Sinn Féin was raising issues as opposed to being issues.
Yes, and it has been a remarkable issue, and all of a remarkable week with a number of things going on since Brian Stanley's surprise resignation last Saturday night. And certainly, while, you know, Sinn Féin may want to get back to, as they would see it, bread and butter issues, Fine Gael and other opposition parties certainly show no sign of wanting to let go of what they see are unanswered questions. What's your thoughts, Paul, on how how this has all played out. You couldn't have invented it, could you?
No, I mean, it's bizarre. I mean, it really has been a bizarre week. It's been one of those types of political controversy where every few hours there's a new element to it. So it has been, to a certain degree, all-consuming. To what extent that's getting out to the much broader audience, I'm not so sure. Just how focused people are on committee procedures or committee positions. But there is a narrative established. Sinn Féin is in trouble and they're in difficulty on a number of fronts. And the other political parties are saying we need some more information. I'm not so sure whether or not the issue of the Public Accounts Committee and the chair of it is necessarily the one that's going to sort of deliver. And we can already see, as Mary intimated, the parties are stuck with a de Hont system which says it is Sinn Féin's right as the largest opposition party to decide on the chair of the PAC. There's no doubt or anything about that. The Social Democrats have already indicated, because that's a procedural issue, they're not going to try and block Mairead Farrell becoming the PAC chair. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, though, they say they're reserving their position, which allows them to apply pressure on Sinn Féin right up to the actual vote. But the vote isn't going to have a debate. There'll be no grandstanding available. It's just something that's going to
straight
come and go.
Straight vote next Tuesday.
So my expectation is that this will probably dissolve and the Mairead Farrell will get what she wants to do. But behind it, there is a drive here within Sinn Féin where they're saying they're not going to relinquish this position on account of Brian Stanley. And they are going to nominate Mairead Farrell again and again if they don't get their way. And thirdly, that if any of the other political parties want to grandstand, well, guess what? We've got a file as well in relation to political parties who didn't necessarily do everything that they were supposed to do. And if you want to play dirty, we're prepared to play dirty as well.
I'm just wondering about the optics of all of that outside Leinster House. I'm just wondering about a defence of we're only as bad as the rest of you. Again, you know, with all this talk of elections in the air, how does that travel with Jane and Joe Public?
It's probably not the greatest defence in the world in terms of saying the alternative to Sinn Féin is just as bad as Sinn Féin now. But it would have some impact because you can drag, you know, you hug your enemy, you try and drag them down with you when there is a particular issue. You try and spread particular mud if there is mud to spread.
They're
all the same. And that is a narrative that maybe plays out, not so much with people who are watching the granular details of what's going on in Leinster House, but maybe the atmosphere. That is the card that Sinn Féin really only have to play at the moment, because it has, I would imagine Sinn Féin people would probably agree with this as well, that it has, the past week has just been extraordinary for them. That for so long Sinn Féin has been so far ahead in the polls, they have been falling back in the last few months. But this, just on the cusp of an election, it couldn't have come at a worse time for Sinn Féin and it couldn't have come at a better time for government.
Has it raised questions about Mary Lou MacDonald's leadership? I mean, there won't be any heave against her. There's no threat against her. But it's been curious, isn't it, that in the explanations we've been hearing, that both in the North and in the South, the actual leader of the party seems to have been getting full possession of the facts at a quite late stage of the controversy.
That's how the procedures are set up. So under that, if you take the issue of Brian Stanley, once there was a complaint made, it went into a committee. The committee involved a barrister. Brian Stanley was able to have a solicitor and a barrister there, but the leader was not involved. This was something that Ivana Bacic, the Labour leader, was taking issue with, saying that she, as leader, would want to know. But Sinn Féin does it differently. So to what extent does that play out? The only thing I'd say is just looking at Mary Lou MacDonald sometimes in the Dáil Chamber, and I was actually there in the press gallery looking down on her earlier on this week when the big issue of child protection was there. And this is just my perception. She looked at times as someone who was thinking, do you know what? You know, if this election doesn't go well for the party, I could just as easily do something else.
I think it's a difficulty for her and the party because if you think back to the last general election, so much of Sinn Féin's campaign revolved around the individual that was Mary Lou MacDonald. She was the female party leader up against the establishment. She cast herself as, you know, she referenced the boys and the boys club and, you know, particularly in that image of her debating against Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar. She really was the sort of, you know, fearless woman, and that's so much of the party's campaign revolved around her, and her popularity was, you know, key to the success of the party. If you look at some candidates who were on holidays and got elected, for example, or some candidates who, even we were talking about Mairead Farrell, said, you know, she had gone from getting not getting elected in the local elections the previous year to getting a big vote in Galway West. So their campaign revolved around the leader, and now there are questions over how she handled individual issues, and that's going to be real problematic for them as they head into the election campaign.
And particularly an election campaign where it's, you know, clear that, you know, from what politicians tell you about all their private polls that they insist they know nothing about, but off the record they'll all tell you, Simon Harris is travelling very well at the moment. Now, obviously, all of that will be tested in a campaign, but it looks like, the you know, the leader's personality is going to be something that's going to be, you know, there'll be a big push on that from Fine Gael, certainly. And what kind of response will Sinn Féin have?
Yeah, the leader's personality is always huge. I mean, you can even just look across at our nearest neighbour, the UK, for good or for ill. People who support Boris Johnson, it doesn't really matter what he does, they're still like, he's, you know, he's someone that you go for a beer
book's
or whatever.
Book's not selling that well.
No, book's not selling that well, but despite his best attempts at some of his claims of wanting to invade certain countries and all the rest. But, you know, and then you look at maybe Rishi Sunak, who possibly wasn't the most charismatic leader they could have had. So, you know, a leader and their charisma and their personality is always going to be huge. You're right, at the moment, and again, whether someone is a Fine Gael supporter or whether someone is a different party supporter or someone who's neutral, I think most people would say that for the moment, Simon Harris is certainly portraying a more he's getting a more positive response to his energetic approach to things. Now, whether that works ought to be true of campaign, there are suggestions that he wants a short campaign. That would be open to question when you get into the nitty gritty. Yeah. And certainly for the moment, you know, Mary is right in saying that Mary Lou MacDonald's in 2020, it was nearly the Mary Lou MacDonald show for Sinn Féin. There is a problem now for Sinn Féin. It's not insurmountable. For the other parties, you know, for example, Fianna Fáil in particular, Micheál Martin will probably be trying to hang back a little bit and try to be the elder statesman, so to speak. He was going to have
a surprise campaign launch until you went and published the poster a couple of weeks early, which apparently didn't go down too well for you.
Yeah, I have thought about it, about what if I do, but next time I do bump into him, I might say that maybe we should all, you know, move forward together.
No, I think Simon's been using that line a lot since, hasn't he? Yes. So all of this election speculation, and of course Micheál Martin, having insisted that February was the date and the government would run its full term, he went on the Irish Times Politics podcast, Inside Politics, and made all the headlines this morning.
But what he did, only to a certain extent, was that given what Fiacre was talking about, this sort of presidential style campaigning from Simon Harris, the constant campaigning, the person who is, you know, out and about all the time, it provided a problem for Micheál Martin. So one of the ways of doing it is to play yourself into the conversation. What is the conversation? When's the general election? We have this man saying, well, I will decide. It's my job. I will determine. I will think. I will do this. So Micheál Martin played a smart game, which is say, well, I'm not so sure. And, well, I'd have to be considered. And maybe we could do something else. And maybe we should stay on for February. And maybe the people don't want an election. And maybe this, maybe that.
All this legislation, Paul.
All the legislation. So what he did was effectively played himself into debate. He was not someone who was an afterthought. He was someone right up there. So it was a strategy. So he walked us all up to the top of the hill. And then he went on to the Irish Times. And he's walking us all the way back. And it's coming back to what we expect it to be, which is some form of late November general election, because it's in the coalition government, A, to have it then, and B, for them to be in lockstep together.
So let's just talk about the logistics of that, first of all, in terms of legislation. So there's the finance bill, the hate crime bill got through the Seanad last night, the gambling bill is through, the president has signed...
Social welfare bill is through.
Yeah.
President has signed
the planning, although there is a concern, and he suspects that will be tested in the future, but it's gone. The future. Yes,
yeah.
It's there. So what's left, and what's the timing of what's left?
So we know that, say, for example, that both the Taoiseach and Thonis have mentioned the mental health bill, and that would be an objective they have. There is no chance that that legislation is going to come through. Mark Ward of Sinn Féin, who sits on that committee, said he didn't even believe if the general election was held at the end of February that they'd be able to get it through. So we can forget about that. Another one would be the issue of defamation. That's something else that both Micheál Martin have mentioned and Simon Harris have mentioned. That's due to go to committee in November. So unless something happens really radically, I also think that one is just going to fall. There just isn't time to be able to get it over the line. The only thing that Micheál Martin was mentioning was the finance bill, because it gives effect to Budget 2025. So, but I expect if you're looking into the coming week is that individual ministers will be trying to get stuff over the line. But the only one is the finance bill. So if you talk technically, we know that it's due to go to committee stage at the beginning of November. That usually happens in committee. I think that committee will be brought back to the Dáil. And like the social welfare bill, they'll deal with it over 2 days. And that gives the Taoiseach then the chance to go to the park, say hello to Michael D. Higgins, and it's all over.
So when is the election called then?
Well, I guess it's always open to question. It seems to be moved back maybe a couple of weeks. And I think that kind of the date that we're all kind of leaning towards now is maybe November 29th. Now, if we look next week, obviously, this time next week, the Dáil will be rising for the midterm break. You could potentially go just before the midterm break. You could go just afterwards as well. And I think people are maybe, because of the finance bill, because of trying to push it through, and notwithstanding Simon Harris and government has cancelled a planned trade mission to Poland at the end of next week, they're saying that's just because they forgot about the bank holidays and there wasn't enough people going anyway. Now, you know, that's the reason they're giving. So I think at the moment, maybe we're looking at, if we come back from the midterm break, maybe it's called then and maybe we're at November 29th. But this particular presumptive date has moved so much at this stage that nobody can be exactly sure.
There's that theory that when the Dáil is off, government parties go up slightly in the polls. So I think if they had the week off for the midterm, then came back and called the election and had, I think what the Sinn Féin controversies might have done is make sure that this campaign is as short as it can be, because the Sinn Féin controversy is the backdrop to this general election campaign. The government parties won't want a long campaign which will give Sinn Féin time to gain ground. Mm-hmm. So if you use that week off and then come back afterwards and go into a 3 week campaign, and I think that brings us up to the last week of November. Everyone's circling, looking at diaries these days up on the wall.
I thought it was really interesting what Art O'Leary from the Electoral Commission said on The Week in Politics at the weekend about the factors that can have an impact on turnout, for instance, in June, the number of people who are on holidays, weather, that can have 3-5%, you know. So you think the end of November, you're thinking, you know, Christmas parties are starting already.
Yeah.
There's the rugby matches. Everyone keeps talking about the rugby matches in early November. So how do all of those things come into calculating when the date should be?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, for example, the Argentina rugby game is something people were talking about as well. So I think all of those factors, I mean, there's only one person who has got the constitutional right to call it, and that is Taoiseach Simon Harris, as well as thinking of the country. One would imagine he's also going to think about his party and what is the most advantageous moment to hold it. I think, you know, young leader, new leader, that always helps. Polls coming good, that always helps. Budget, you know, we got the hosing of cash and it'll just begin to register around that time as well. So everything leads towards the end of November. What I can't see is that they will go into what some people are discussing as December 6th, because then I think the factors you mentioned really, really come into play. I mean, it's Christmas time. It's a toy show. People are busy. They've got present lists. They've got things to do, people to see, and a politician knocking on the door, I think, will get short shrift. So I think this is a November deal.
Yeah, there's been a theory in some parts of government for some time now that the closer you get to Christmas, you have this feel-good factor, everyone's in better form. I'm not entirely sure that will continue to play once you go into December, because people are stressed, they're busy, they have things to go to. You know, school concerts, choirs to get to, all this kind of stuff. Now, maybe the end of November, that feel-good factor for Christmas will just beginning to start. But in terms of going into the first week of December, I think, you know, even democracy itself cannot withstand the toy show and the needs of the children of the country.
There's a scientific word for it. It's nuts.
We'll give you that one. And let's talk a little bit before we wrap things up about we saw Holly Cairns and Ivana Bacik making strong statements in those statements on child abuse the other day. Holly Cairns talking today about if the Social Democrats were to go into government, that they would want to have a disabilities ministry.
a lot of talk that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael would certainly eye Labour very favourably if they made a rebound. So in terms of, and of course, there's the growth of the independents. So how's all that side of a potential coalition shaping up?
Well, if you all take maybe one of the parties, if you take Social Democrats, for example, they believe that they're on the up. They think that even though Holly Kearns is in a difficult position where she's a party leader, but also down in Cork South West in a tight constituency in which Fine Gael are coming back strong, they feel that they're going to do well out of this general election. They hope to sort of more than double what they have. I think for Holly Kearns, it's trying to being able to battle your way through what is going to be the Taoiseach. And the Taoiseach is the shiny new thing which puts her sort of one step back. And they have to make some principal stands. So, for example, as you said, disability, a minister for disability as a senior minister, not a junior. The government says, well, we do have one. It's Roger O'Gorman. But he is also children and integration and a few other things as well. But what they're trying to do is to be able to create some space, to be able to create some policy mm-hmm. which people be able to coalesce around. We still have that issue of just exactly Social Democrats and Labour being very close together. But that's what they're going to do, to use the fact that they have a principal position today. Another argument is in relation to Israel and Gaza. And Holly Kearns has been particularly strong, saying the government could have taken far more action than it actually has. And you'd expect to see more of that again.
I think the dynamic between Labour and the Social Democrats in the election will be really interesting, because they'll want transfers between each other so they can't be too critical of each other. Their candidates can't. But at the same time, in certain constituencies, whoever, you know, gets in mm-hmm. ahead of the other will be taking the transfers from the other. So like the seat decisions between the two candidates from Social Democrats and Labour will be really, really crucial in a number of constituencies. So that's going to be one interesting dynamic. Another one will be between the Green Party and the independents. Mm-hmm. And we're starting to hear now from the Green Party that, you know, not returning the Greens to government will mean that the two current coalition big parties will be reliant on independents to form the government. And many of those independents being sort of, you know, independents who wouldn't be positively yeah. disposed to climate action measures. And, you know, I mean, that was a key battleground in the European elections between the sort of more right-wing independents across Europe and then these sort of, and then the Green candidates. So the Green Party is saying, you know, don't risk the what's happening already, because it'll be independents backing up the government. Well,
and in fairness on that, Fiacre, again, you know, constituency talk back, I've been hearing from a number of politicians across a range of parties that actually the Green vote may not turn out to be as weak as a lot of people have suggested.
Yeah, well, we saw that over summer in the local elections in particular, that the Green vote certainly hasn't fallen as much as people were expecting. So, you know, there are always hopes on the Greens and their core points. They are the ones that can push the green agenda, the environment agenda. But I do think Mary raised a very important point, and one certainly to watch, of Greens versus independents. Certainly for governments, you know, if you get enough votes, the easiest way to get over the line is to do a couple of deals with a few independents. That's always the easiest road for the biggest parties. So I would say some of the independents looking at this would be firstly licking their lips at an opportunity, and secondly saying, well, look, the Greens could be on the menu.
So they'll all be studying the weekend. There's a poll this weekend, isn't there? Yeah, they'll all be studying that poll very closely and then say, of course, it's got nothing to do.
Yeah. But isn't that it? I mean, like, as you mentioned at the top of the programme, they've only got their own polls as well. So and whatever about Irish Times.
Also,
or
not to mention, not to leave out the bigger two, how do Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, how do Absolutely. Simon Harris and Micheál Martin oppose each other standing up and oppose two podiums in a general election debate on television? How do they debate? That is a big question. It's something that TDs are thinking about. You know, some TDs in Fianna Fáil suggesting maybe justice is one area where there can be a difference between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. But on the other hand, if you go down that road, does Fine Gael start targeting Fianna Fáil on housing? You know, so how do they argue against each other in a campaign?
And there's the other question. How much is Simon Harris campaigning to be Taoiseach for 5 years? Mm, how much, you know, is he really mm-hmm. keen to come back as a rotating Taoiseach?
But if Fine Gael is too far ahead, then that mightn't be something he needs to consider. But equally, as we learned from the locals and European, that there was good transfers between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. So as Mary points out, on the one hand, they have to fight each other. And yet on the other hand, you don't want to fight them too much in case you could actually end up both losing.
Lots to look forward to, isn't there? Are you coming in Halloween costume next week?
We'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see.
All right. We'll talk to you again next Thursday. Till then, from all the team, goodbye.